First and foremost, I want everybody to take a deep breath and relax, okay?
I feel like my eyes sticking to one side of my brain and shit. You know what I mean?
Go to bed, man.
Okay, my name is Taylor Dunn. Y'all keep it going.
You are now listening to the Mac Daddy Seminar, motherfucker.
What's cracking, pimps? What's going on? And welcome to episode 64 of the Mac Daddy Seminar. As always, I'm your host, Taylor Dunn. And obviously, before I even go into this next segment, I'm just going to tell you, yes, it has been a while since I have sat down to record an episode. This is all just audio, so if you're hoping to have like a YouTube video to go along with it, I apologize, but that ain't gonna happen for you today. Okay? Yeah, it's been a while since I recorded an episode. This probably isn't gonna be a long one because I'm sitting here drinking coffee. Very, very fucking strong coffee. Cafe Bustelo. If you haven't ever tried it, it's pretty much straight Bolivian marching powder in coffee form. And, it's espresso, and I pour up a cup of it, and I'm going to sip it, but if I just all of a sudden I'm like, all right, thank you guys for listening, and goodbye, it's because I have to shit. Oh, man, oh, man. I am working from home this week, because my wife is sick. And she doesn't have COVID. She tried to do that milk crate challenge. No. What is up with that fucking milk crate challenge? I mean, I've only been seeing it for like 3 or 4 days, and now everybody can find these fucking milk crates. I didn't even know they made milk crates like that anymore. I thought I was cool when I was a kid, because I had one, and I was like, I could put vinyl records in that thing, even though I didn't even have a record player. And now I do have a record player, but we have some chic little designer wooden box. We don't just have a milk crate. What is... I don't get it. Who came up with that shit? Did one person do it, and now everybody's like, I gotta try this. And you gotta go find fucking 30 milk crates to walk over the top of. I mean, people are really getting goddamn hurt doing this. Like, I've been watching these videos, and they're fucking hilarious. But, like, I'm 27, and I can tell you right now, if I fall from a height of, like, 6-7 feet, that's it for me. I'm done. I'll just fall down. I fell down last week playing football, and my leg has been hurting for like 4 days. It's not a game out here, and I'm seeing people that look well into their late 30s and 40s marching up these damn crates, and they get to the top and fall and break their goddamn leg and stuff. I mean, what do you win? Like, I've seen a couple where people are like, hey, here's $100, you know, something like that. And it's really something that brings the whole community together. But, damn. You know? That's where we're at. It's so hard to get a fucking PlayStation 5. We'll just go get a shit ton of milk crates and walk up them. I don't even give a fuck about the PlayStation 5 anymore. I stopped caring. Whenever I got Resident Evil 8... and played it, and I looked at the side-by-side of, like, the graphics. I was like, God, this is the same damn game. Ain't nothing different. Gonna spend $900 on a PlayStation 5 just so I can... It looks a little bit better. Get the fuck out of here. Anyway, so yeah. I'm gonna tell you now, look, if you're thinking about walking up some milk crates, don't do it. It's not worth it. People are breaking their damn tailbone, falling from that top crate just to go viral on Facebook. Showing up to work on Monday morning with in a cast and a fucking boot on your leg. What'd you do this weekend? Oh, I fell. How'd you fall? Climbing up some damn milk crates. Whatever. Anyway, yeah, my wife is sick, and, you know, I hate to go all Alex Jones on you, but I figured I'd talk about it. I wanted to make a post about it on Facebook or, you know, something to that effect, but I was sure. I was like, well, Facebook is going to take this down. Me and my wife have been talking about it, and I was like, if we tell, like, a 100% true account of what happened, Facebook will flag this as false information. So that's why we haven't really told anybody. But long story short, my wife decided to get vaccinated. I myself have been vaccinated since April. I'm in the military. I knew it was going to be mandatory for me as soon as it got FDA approved. And as of yesterday, that happened. So now it is mandatory for the military. Doesn't matter how you feel about it, you have to get it. So I knew back in April, well, I'm going to have to get it anyway. I might as well just go ahead and get it. I got the shot, got my first one, felt a little funny, got my second one. And really the only side effects I had was it made me real sore. It made me feel like my bones were hurting. Got over it after like 3 days, felt fine. No problems. Well, me and my wife are planning on going on a trip to Las Vegas for our anniversary in about 3 weeks. And we decided it would probably be in our best interest, well, in her best interest, to go ahead and get vaccinated, because it seemed like while we were there, we might be asked for our vaccination cards. And we don't want to be denied entry into a place while we're there on our vacation just trying to have a good time. So she went out, got her first shot about 3 weeks ago. And it's like 2 or 3 days after she got her shot. She tells me, hey, will you look at this thing on the back of my leg? So I'm like, sure. I look, and it's just like a little, just a small cluster of dots on the back of her leg. She was like, it doesn't really hurt, it just itches. So I don't think anything much of it. I'm just thinking, you know, maybe it's just dry skin or irritation, something like that. Like I said, it's about the size of a quarter. Well, she is a bit of a hypochondriac, and she goes to the doctor, and they tell her she has fucking shingles. Doctor says, yeah, you have shingles. And she's like, how in the hell do I have shingles? I haven't been sick or anything in years. The doctor tells her, well, due to the stress that the vaccine put on your immune system, you have a flare-up of shingles. That dramatic pause. Yeah. So she has shingles, and she has to take an antiviral medication to keep it from spreading, and it makes her super fucking nauseous and really drowsy. She feels like shit for like a week. And it's only a week's worth of the medicine, right? So then she runs out of the medicine on Thursday, but the rash still hasn't gone away. So I was like, maybe we should go do a follow-up with the doctor, see what's going on. So she goes to the doctor, and they tell her, yeah, it's probably best you don't take any more of the medicine. And after that, she feels fine. Well, I'm going to just kind of tell the whole story in succession. And a buddy of mine bought tickets to see Andrew Schultz in Los Angeles like 2 years ago. Well, that Friday was the night that we were supposed to go. So I'm checking with my wife. I'm like, hey, are you feeling okay? Like, and she's like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, I think I'm over this whole thing. You go with your friend. Have a good time. I'm like, are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Okay. So we go. Get in the car, drive up to LA, get there like 3 hours before the show is supposed to start. And this is the thing about Los Angeles, okay? Or a lot of big cities, especially out here on the West Coast. You can't find a fucking bathroom anywhere. Let's say you drive 2.5 hours from San Diego. Chances are when you get there and you finally find a place to park, you probably have to pee. Good luck. Because you're not going to find a fucking restroom open to the public. So me and him go running all over downtown Los Angeles looking for a place to go to the bathroom. Walk into a CVS, no restroom for public use. Walk into, restaurants. They don't even have a restroom. So we're like, well, what the fuck are we going to do? So eventually we just found like this bar looking thing. And it's like rooftop club and lounge. Just go to the elevator. So we go. Get on the elevator, and it's the scariest fucking elevator I've ever been in my life. It's the whole elevator is painted black, so once the door shuts, it's like you can barely fucking see anything in there. And we ride this to the top of this building, and it opens up, and it's a fucking pool party. It's like a pool party slash restaurant and bar area, and we're like, okay, just what? Where the fuck is the bathroom? So we have to walk to the other side of the pool. I mean, there's people out here like sunbathing, you know, in the water, splashing around. Of course, they got their dogs with them because that's just a California thing. And we finally find a bathroom. So thank God. We only had to traverse fucking 9 blocks in downtown Los Angeles and go to the top of a building and walk through a fucking pool party to find a restroom. So after we pee, we walk around a couple of stores right there in downtown, and you know, we got something to eat. We got a burger at this joint, and damn, I think it was called like Unai Burger or something like that. That shit was good, and it wasn't expensive either. I really anticipated it being like ridiculously expensive because it is Los Angeles. No. Nice atmosphere, cool little spot. Got a like a sunrise burger with a fried egg on it and some bacon and some avocado and shit. Ooh, boy. That bitch was so good. My buddy got a damn truffle burger or something. All it had on it was like truffle oil and meat. And I was like, boy, you don't want some lettuce or some tomatoes? You can get scurvy out here eating like that. But no, he said it was good. And we shared some fries, and that boy got a milkshake. Whole meal cost us like $34, which is unheard of. That's like a trip to McDonald's out here. So anyway, we finally get led into the theater, which is the Orpheum in downtown Los Angeles. Very historic theater. If you watch Dolomite Is My Name, the Eddie Murphy movie that came out like last year or the year before last, it's the same theater that they show his movie in at the very end. So the end of that movie they filmed at the Orpheum Theater. And that is why Andrew Schultz picked that location, because originally when he booked that spot, that was where he was going to film his upcoming comedy special. But with the whole COVID pandemic and everything, you know, We bought these tickets to this show in December of 2019. And here it is, August of 2021, and we're finally getting to go. So, get inside, and we're just kind of hanging out. We're some of the first people there. And I go upstairs to go to the bathroom again, because I have the bladder of a fucking 70-year-old man. And go upstairs, and there's a window looking out the bathroom, and I look out the window, and I see all these lowriders, and I'm thinking, you know what? I bet Andrew Schultz is back there filming some shit for his Instagram. So I finish pissing, and go get my buddy, and we're just walking. This theater is just absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it is beautiful. And I'll post some pictures of it on my Instagram. I haven't posted any yet because I'll explain this part in a minute. This theater is just absolutely gorgeous. And we go out the back to, I guess, what is like the smoking area. And sure enough, like 15 feet away, there's Andrew Schultz and his entire crew. But we're separated by a fence. So we're waving at him. We're like, hey, Andrew, what's up, man? Yeah. And he's waving back, and they're filming all this stuff on these lowriders, like getting them to bounce and shit. I'm like, man, this is pretty cool. So what I'm hoping to do is get just close enough to him to where I can take a picture with him. Any comedy show I go to, if I can get a picture with the comedian I'm going to see, I consider that a win. So they get in these lowriders and they drive through the gate in the back. And my buddy, being the genius that he is, he was like, hey, I bet you anything they're going to drive that around the building and pull up to the front so that it looks like they're arriving to the show this way. And I was like, you fucking genius. Let's go. So we walk back inside, go right to the front door. We can't go out because once you come in, you can't go back out. But nobody else knows what's going on. There's probably 400 or 500 people in the theater at this point. It's about 45 minutes till showtime, and nobody else realizes what's going on. So we're just standing there waiting on him to walk in. Well, sure enough, he pulls up in this lowrider, making it jump on the curb and everything. You hear everybody outside screaming. And he gets out of the car, and he walks in and walks literally right in front of me. And I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, Andrew, let me get a pic. Well, he turns around and he talks to his like film crew, and he's like, I don't know where to go. They're filming something for like his YouTube and his Instagram and stuff like that. And they just like give him the arrow hand, like just go straight. So he looks at me and he was like, all right, but we got to go. So we're just like running together through the lobby of the Orpheum Theater. And if you saw that picture of me and him on my Instagram story, it's because the reason it's blurry like that is because we are running side by side. I did the best. I should have filmed, and I know that now. But, I mean, you live and you learn. I think it's funnier, the blurry picture of him. Like, at first I was a little disappointed because I was like, damn, it's blurry. Like, I don't got a good picture. Because I am a really big fan of his, and, you know, everybody wants a picture with him, but how many people can say, I ran through the Orpheum Theater with Andrew Schultz on the infamous tour in 2021? That's a story I can tell people. But it was cool, man. You know, he was really nice about it. I mean, I knew why he was in a hurry. Because he was about to get mobbed by everybody in the theater. So he was like, we got to go. So I was running beside him and I was like, hey, man, you're going to kill it tonight. You know, I love your shit. And he's like, hey, I appreciate it, bud. And he just kept on going. So after that, you know, which was like super exciting, made our way to our seats. And that man, they just put on a great show. Everybody, I mean, from his openers, Derek Posen, Mark Gagnon, who's normally his opener. And then him just coming out there and doing an hour. It was really a good fucking show. I mean, that guy is on a different level, stand-up wise. I mean, if you're not a fan of his or you haven't really listened to any of his stand-up, go watch it, because this motherfucker is offensive, but he finds a way to get away with it, and it is something else. He says shit that I don't even feel like Chappelle would say. I mean, it's fantastic. It was great. One of the best shows I've ever been to. So, we leave, drive back to San Diego, get home about midnight or so, and I go to bed. Wake up the next morning, check on my wife. Now, this is getting back into the story of my wife. I just wanted to kind of tell y'all in succession of what happened over like the past week. So anyways, back to my wife. So we wake up on Saturday morning. She's feeling better. Better than she has felt in like a week. And I'm just like, you know, hey, how you feeling? Oh, I'm feeling better, you know. And we're saying, hey, let's go shopping because we need to buy my daughter some school supplies. And we get up, get dressed, and we start going around to these different stores and stuff like that, buy some school supplies and a few clothes items and stuff, because we're looking for a few different outfits and stuff for our Vegas trip. And we're like, hey, let's get some food before we go home. And what do you want? I don't know. Let's go to Wingstop, you know? I like Wingstop. I haven't been there in a while. Although in the past, we have had problems with this Wingstop, and that should have been a red flag. But I ordered online early, so it'd be ready when we got there, because we've ordered before, and it took them like an hour to cook our fucking order. Well, pick up the food, take it home, sitting here eating it. I think we're watching like Game of Thrones or some shit. And, you know, after we eat, my wife starts telling me that her stomach's hurting. Well, I don't think much of this because, you know, my wife has always had kind of a weak stomach for anything spicy or anything like that. She still, I mean, she loves spicy food. I do too. But she has been known for it to kind of tear her stomach up. And I don't mean to, you know, share too much information. This is just strictly just telling you guys exactly what happened. She has to go to the bathroom. Okay. And then like 10 minutes later, she has to go to the bathroom again. And then like 5 minutes after that, she has to go to the bathroom again. And she tells me, she's like, my stomach is really hurting. And I'm like, yeah, my stomach's kind of hurting too. And then I go to the bathroom. And then as soon as I get done, she goes to the bathroom again. And she's like, hey, will you come in here? I'm like, yeah, what's going on? There's blood in the toilet. And I'm like, oh shit, we need to go to the hospital. So we do. We go to the hospital on Saturday night. And they will not let me or my daughter in because of COVID. So we just sit in the parking lot. But on the way there, my wife starts telling me, she was like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to make it there. Like, my stomach is killing me. I feel like I'm dying. We get to the hospital, and we're just sitting there waiting. And it's like 3 hours later, she comes out, and the doctors have determined that she has viral gastroenteritis. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but essentially, she has a bacterial infection in her stomach that is causing her to bleed. And it's pretty scary because you can lose a decent amount of blood that way. And I mean, she's been sick as a dog for like 3 days. Only soups, drinking lots of water, you know. Last night she ate a baked potato and she has to take this medicine that, just like the medicine for shingles, makes you drowsy and dizzy as fuck. She woke up yesterday morning telling me that she felt drunk when she woke up, and I was like, it's probably from that medicine. And yeah, so that's where we're at now. And it's really concerning because she only got one dose of the vaccine. And she's supposed to get the second one today. But she called her doctor and she was like, obviously you can understand why I'm hesitant to take the second dose because I haven't had any medical issues like this in a long time. And I've been to the hospital twice since taking my first shot. Y'all have to excuse me real quick. Just like I told y'all in the beginning, that coffee is about to kill me. So just wait one. I'm going to come back and keep going. Sorry about that, y'all. Yeah. Like I said, that coffee in the morning, it's like clockwork. I think I make it too fucking strong, okay? But I want to taste it. I don't like that watered down shit that you get from like IHOP or Waffle House or anything like that. I want the coffee, like if I drink, and I make it with a French press, this is how I make my coffee. Put it in the French press, put the boiling water on there, stir it up, press it, put it in the refrigerator. The next morning, I like to drink it cold. Now, I will drink it hot, but I like cold coffee. I like it to be iced coffee, but without the ice. And if I drink a whole pot of those, that thing, if I drink that whole French press in the morning, I feel like I smoke crystal meth from another dimension. And sometimes that's how I like to go to work. You know, sometimes I like to feel like the whole earth is vibrating and I have to shit. And yeah, so I only drank one cup this morning, but sure enough, I knew I was going to have to stop this podcast in the middle and go, you know. But anyway, so yeah, like I was saying, obviously, my wife is hesitant to take the second dose of the vaccine. And look, I'm not trying to start any fucking argument with anybody or anybody give me their opinion on why they think it's better that she take it than, you know, look, okay? I can only tell you the facts. Since this whole thing started, me and my wife have not had COVID. We haven't even thought we had COVID. We came back from Alabama in November and I had a little sniffle and my work made me go get tested. My wife's never been tested. We haven't felt sick this entire time. But also on top of that, we only wear a mask or do anything that the CDC recommends when we are forced to. If we walk into a store and look around and nobody's got a fucking mask on, we don't wear ours either. What I'm saying is we haven't taken any precautions really for, I'd say, at least a year. Flown multiple times, been to bars, been to restaurants. I mean, we've just been out here living. I go to the comedy club, ain't nobody in there got a fucking mask on. You know, they're not cleaning the microphones. I mean, hell, even at the Andrew Schultz show, it was like you didn't have to show proof of vaccine, which was shocking because this is in Los Angeles. But you didn't have to show proof of vaccine to get in. And then it was just like, hey, just, you know, keep your mask on until you get to your seat. People, as soon as they walked in, they took their fucking mask off. Nobody had their whole nobody had a mask on in that whole fucking theater. I'm just saying, we never worried about catching COVID, haven't caught COVID, and I know people that have caught it, you know, I'm not saying it's not real or anything like that, but what I'm saying is, you don't get sick at all for a year and a half, and you decide, okay, you know what, yeah, I guess it is time that I go ahead and get vaccinated just so I don't have anything to worry about, and then you get shingles and then a severe bacterial infection in your stomach. And that's just off the first dose. So if anybody'd like to, you know, tell me why it'd be smarter for her to go ahead and get the second dose and continue being sicker than I've ever seen her, Please educate me. Somebody the other night, and I won't say who it was, and I do have a lot of respect for this person, but some of this shit has really gone to y'all's head. I understand everybody has had a different experience with the whole pandemic, you know, and it may depend on what you do for a living or, you know, where you live. And a lot of it comes from where you live. But, you know, this conversation I have with this person, I don't have any loss of respect for him or anything like that. But I posted something on Facebook. I just shared it, really. And it was this article about, well, it wasn't even an article. It was just like a couple of pictures. It was like, imagine if the government had handled the pandemic this way. And basically it just said, like, incentivizing eating healthier foods and not, you know, McDonald's all the time and encouraging people to get vitamin D and exercise and things like that and stop selling cigarettes and all these things. And she just jumped down my throat like the vaccine is the only way to prevent this type of thing. Now, I didn't tell her what happened with my wife, but that's what I'm thinking the entire time. And basically, what it boils down to is people are on Facebook preaching about how everybody should be vaccinated and, oh, we need to lock down, but you live in a state where you do not live that lifestyle. And I'm happy for you. I've probably said it a billion times on this podcast to the point to where I just got tired of talking about it, but if you've lived in Alabama, Florida, Texas, Georgia, really anywhere in the South, your COVID-19 pandemic has been much different than those of us living in California or Washington or New York or anything like that. And I am happy for you. Believe me, if I had the opportunity to leave here because of this, I would have been gone, but I can't. I'm contractually obligated to stay here because of my profession. Okay? So, anybody that's like, well, if you didn't like it, why didn't you just leave? I can't leave. I'm in the military. I have to stay here until my contract here is up. And believe me, when it comes time to pick orders, I'm getting the fuck out of here. I'll come back to visit, you know, but I don't like California enough to live here permanently. So, but do not talk to me about, like, vaccine mandates and shit like that, and then I look on your Facebook and I see you at, you know, a Kenny Chesney concert and nobody in the fucking audience has a mask on. Don't tell me that, oh, you need to be careful with what you're going to do, and I see you at, you know, fucking Six Flags and shit like that. Don't be preaching. All I'm saying is practice what you preach. You want to be safe, quote unquote, you want to, you know, fight the good fight against COVID, move to San Francisco. Okay? Go up there with those people. Walk into a CVS and them tell you, hey, sorry, you can't use the bathroom because we're afraid you might spread COVID in there. And you walk outside and there's like three homeless people shitting in the street. And you're like, well, what about them? Oh, there's nothing we can do about them. But yeah, wash your hands. Anyway, yeah, sorry to talk about COVID, guys. I know it's been a while since our last episode, but other than that, though, I mean, the Andrew Schultz show was cool. I haven't been doing too much this summer. I've really tried to focus more on getting back on stage more. That was a big reason why I've kind of taken a break from the podcast, because I was like, you know what? I need to worry more about doing what I really like to do, and that's stand up. And I've been doing it. You know, I've kind of taken a break this week and the week before just because of, you know, my wife being sick, and my daughter is starting school this week, so that's pretty exciting. And, but other than that, I mean, this past month, I've gotten on stage quite a bit. And it's fun, man. You know, people are happy about watching stand-up. They're really enjoying it. And it's fun. I'm really liking it. It's just, you know, I don't think we're going to go back into any sort of lockdown or anything like that. I think we're past that part. But at first, I was like, fuck, I need to hurry up and do this before they shut us down again. But just don't know, man. It's very uncertain times we're living in. But all you can do is just keep moving. You know, I mean, I've had to really sit down and take a long, hard look at myself and like things that I was doing that negatively affect my mood. One of them, which is drinking. I'm not saying I'm a drunk or, you know, I'm an alcoholic or anything, but I do drink more than I should. And I decided to put the bottle down for a little while. You know, it's no reason for me to have two or three drinks every night before I go to bed. So, and we're just going to stop and see what happens, you know. I feel good this morning. Woke up, energized, slept all the way through the night. Ready to start the day. And we'll do it again tonight and see what happens. But, you know, try to get more exercise. Just do what I can to be productive and keep on trucking through the day. And I hope you do the same. And if this shit is starting to make you anxious and shit like that, cut the TV off. Because I'm telling you right now, COVID does not exist past that fucking television. And this isn't a knock on people that work in hospitals and deal with people that actually have COVID. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I'm telling you now, cut the TV off and watch how less anxious you feel. This shit will do wonders on you. So yeah, I think that about wraps this up. I don't really think I have anything else to tell you guys. I appreciate y'all being patient with me for not posting an episode for a while. I'm trying to get back into the groove of doing the podcast. And oh, I did want to mention, I almost forgot. I've decided to start a little comedy community, quote unquote, right here where I live. A business has been nice enough to let me host a comedy night there, like once a week, here in about a month. So I'm really looking forward to doing that, just because, you know, where I live in San Diego is like one of the only places that there are no comedy shows. I have to go venture into downtown or up in El Cajon or just all out, like right around where I live, there is no comedy. And I'm going to try and change that. So be on the lookout for any updates that I put out for that. I'm pretty much doing it solo, aside from the people that own the venue. So, you know, wish me luck. I'm going to try and get back into doing this podcast regularly. And yeah, I think that's about it, man. Yeah, I appreciate you guys listening. Almost fucked that up. I appreciate you guys listening, and I will see you when I see you, I guess. Y'all have a good one.